Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a brief intro because we have some serious success stories to share from the 2022 Wisconsin deer season, and we're in the middle of it. We're right about halfway done with it, but it has been lights out so far. I mean, it's been the best season we have ever had as a family and on this property, and so I'm really pumped about it. I hope you guys are excited for this one because it's going to be awesome. Let's jump in.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And this is the kind of wrap-up recap of 2022 Wisconsin deer season. Of course, Josh, you're going out potentially tonight, so it's not quite the wrap-up.
Yeah, but hopefully be able to get on something this afternoon for the last day.
Yeah, it's been probably the best week we've ever had up here. I mean, I don't think we've ever killed this many big deer. And so we're going to go through on this podcast, talk about each deer, basically the story behind it, how it all went down. And then, that's going to put an end to the year for us up here. So sitting with me today, I've got three family members, a nephew, a brother, and a mom, or my nephew, my brother, and my mom, not just a. But why don't we go around, introduce yourself real quick, and how long you've been hunting.
Okay. I'm Aiden Kaufman. I've been hunting, or I got my license this year.
Nice. First year.
Yep.
Gosh. Just wait till we get to his story.
He's spoiled.
It's dumb.
I'm Rhonda. I'm Dan's mom. And this year was my 42nd year hunting. I haven't missed an opening weekend in 42 years. So I'm pretty excited about that. I wanted to keep on going. And
she started when she was 30.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. Thanks, Dan. No Christmas for you.
I'm Josh. I'm Dan's brother, and I've been hunting about 17 years.
Dang, 17 years. That seems crazy, too.
Yeah, I guess maybe even longer. I guess youth hunt was when you were 13, I think.
12.
Back then, 12.
You can hunt at
so,
12, yeah.
Just over.
Jeez. That's why I guess I haven't really thought about how long I've been hunting, but yeah, it's over 20 years now.
What?
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's not think about
and
that.
He's only 40,
so we'll never bring that up again.
Thank you.
No, we had a great year. I mean, I got up here the Thursday before opener. Opener is always Saturday before Thanksgiving, and it goes till the Sunday after. And right now it's Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, so there's technically a couple days left, but with the year that we've had, everyone kind of like got deer and left, it seemed like.
Yeah.
We started out on Saturday hunting hard. Who all was out? Mom, you were out.
Yep.
Josh, you ended up, you got in at like 4 a.m.
I got here at 4:20 and left for the woods at 5:15
after
a 14-hour drive.
Yeah. So we went out. Aiden, you were still in New York at that point, or heading this direction from New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a bunch of people go out, and honestly, it seemed like a really slow opener.
Yeah, I don't think I saw a single deer all morning, and then maybe saw, I think, three running through the woods far distance Saturday night, and that's all I saw all day opening day.
Yeah, I saw one buck, and it was like a small maybe fork or tiny 6-point. Mom, how many did you see?
Opening day, I saw 9 bucks, all different bucks. I saw 3 of those twice, and I saw 4 does, and then one that was running the ridge that I don't know what that was. So, yeah, I saw a lot of bucks on opening day.
Well, and you pulled your trail camera like 2 days before season.
Yep.
And out of all the bucks you had on trail camera, you saw like almost every one of them that day, didn't you?
Yep. Well, I figured there's about 30 different bucks on my trail camera. So I saw nine different ones that day. But there's so many different twos and fours and, you know, some fives, a bunch of sixes, a bunch of eights on there. So I saw a lot of different bucks on my trail camera this year.
Yeah. And you've got a whole handful of bucks where like every time it's busted off, basically at the main beam.
Right.
On, what is it, the left side? Like on all of them.
Yeah, I saw three on opening day that every tine on the left side was busted off. And some of those were 10, one of them was a 10-pointer. The one I got was an 8-pointer. And then there's another 8 out there that has the same thing. Every tine is busted off almost all the way down to the main beam. And, yeah, it's very interesting.
You probably have, like, an anti-hunter neighbor or something that's out there with a 22, well, like shooting the tines off of the deer so nobody wants them.
Dan, I think you guys were already in the camper last night, but we were looking at trail cameras last night and we found her buck before it was all busted off.
So really? October 22nd, it has the full rack on there. Yeah. So since October 22nd until now,
it's all probably in the last, 3 weeks or so.
Because we saw the same thing with Sam's.
Yeah, the buck that Sam shot,
his G2.
He was missing his 2 on his right side.
Mm-hmm.
And they had trail camera pictures of that one. October 27th, it had it, and by the 11th of November, it was off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's typically how it goes. You know, most deer aren't losing tines or main beams or busted tips or anything. I would say probably before the middle of October. And up here, I mean, it's a pretty solid rut. It seems like the first week of November is just like
Even opening day, just about every single buck I saw was nose to the ground chasing something. Yeah. I mean, they were following, you know, the first 5 bucks I saw all went to the same spot. They had their nose to the ground. They crossed the trail, and as soon as they hit this trail, they were on a doe. So, they're still moving, chasing.
Well, an opener this year was the 19th, and that's like, I mean, they say in most places in the Midwest, like the 6th, 7th, 8th are the peak of the rut, or is the peak of the rut.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it kind of starts around Halloween, goes for a couple weeks. But here this year, it seemed like there was so much activity. Even when you did pull your card, you'd see one doe come through, and then it was just like a parade of bucks afterward.
Yep.
And then, you know, Sam shot his hot on a doe.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been pretty wild. But I guess starting out on Saturday, we had, trying to think how many deer total we had down. Only a couple.
Saturday we had.
I feel like Saturday we didn't. Like Billy got hers. How many got deer over at your guys' property?
On Saturday, there were 3 deer taken.
3, okay.
So 4.
So 4 deer. And then Sunday rolls around. And I guess you were the first one to get to get your deer.
Yep.
What, tell us that story. How'd that go down?
So when I pulled my camera that week, there were a couple bucks on there that I was interested in. One really nice buck, didn't have a bunch of broken tines. And then this really odd buck that the left side was all busted off, and then it has a really strange, like, kink in its horn on the right side, but a big-bodied buck. And so I said, whichever one of those comes through first, I'm interested in taking. And so I watched all those other deer come through. I had a 10 come through that had the whole left side busted off, but I could tell it was a 10. And it walked 20 feet from me right down the trail. It just walked, and I watched it for 10 minutes, and I could have taken it, but it was a much smaller-bodied deer. It looked much younger. So I thought, I'll just wait, and, you know, it's opening morning, it's bright and early. It was probably about 7:30 or so. I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
So then just sitting there, and I look off to my right, and I look up the valley, and I see this buck come through the valley, and I'm like, that's a big body deer. And I thought, this could be the one that I was looking at on camera with the weird horn. And watched him for a while, came down the ridge, started angling towards me, and then he got behind a brush pile, and I could see his body back there. and he just stood there for like 10 minutes. And I remember sending a message out to everybody and said, big buck, and one of the two big bucks is in front of me right now. And I had time to do that because it just stood there. It was eating whatever.
But hold on. That was in the midst of 35 different messages of the meals that you were cooking in your blind, all the different things that you were making spaghetti, I think, that
Not
morning.
Not at that time I wasn't. Yeah, no, at that time I actually took out some venison bacon out into the woods, and I was going to make me some bacon and pancakes for breakfast. And actually, I think I decided on bacon and oatmeal, and so I had the water
I
on
swear,
getting
at
ready
some
to boil.
Point, at some point, you're going to have like a light up board out there with a little speaker
with
box.
The menu.
Everyone's going to be driving their side by sides through the woods up to the front of your blind.
So, yeah, anyway, so I had my bacon cooking and I had my water on for my oatmeal, and this buck came through and I'm just watching, and I thought, this, I think, is pretty sure the one that I've been watching. And looked at it in my binoculars as it was getting closer and closer, and I just kept watching it, got behind the brush pile, stood there for a long time, sent out my message that I had this buck in front of me, and it went behind a hill, and I knew it either had to cross behind the hill, which is not very wide, or it was going to go straight up and I would lose it. And so I just kept watching, and it stepped out from behind the hill. I took a shot at it. It stepped a few more steps. I don't know what happened. I took another shot at it. It acted weird, but it just stood there. And so I'm like, I was kind of dumbfounded because it didn't do anything. I thought, how did it not fall? And anyway, so I was watching it, and it took a few more steps, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on. And I took one more shot at it, and I dropped it, and it rolled down the hill. And, yeah, that was it. I went over to it, and I knew immediately it was the buck that was on my camera with the really odd horn.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole left side's missing. I should say down to the main beam. You can see where they've all just been busted off like crazy. So, it's a nice, good body deer. I want to get it aged and find out how old it is, because it does look like an old buck. It has the very old look to it. So,
yeah.
We'll see. I don't know what... you know, what it's going to come out as, but then I took a doe in the afternoon after sitting there. I usually just take my buck and that's it, but this year I thought, well, it was a beautiful day to sit out there, and yep, I sat there and made spaghetti for lunch, and
last year it was venison tacos.
Venison tacos, now venison bacon and pancakes and spaghetti.
I think I'm going to start a thing called woodland cooking. Or hunting, or cooking in the blind.
You need to be sponsored by Little Buddy, the Mr. Buddy heater.
Yeah, oh yeah, my
Mr.
Buddy.
Because you cook like everything on that thing.
I love my Mr. Buddy heater. I ended up buying the double heater this year. And oh my goodness, that's a game changer when you're in the blind.
So now she can cook breakfast on one side, lunch on the other.
Yeah, that's a game changer. If you sit on a blind and you want to be warm, that Buddy heater, that'll either toast you out of there or... you know, they got the hookups for the 20-gallon propane tank or the 20-pound propane tank. And, yeah, that's a game changer when you're in the blind. It's amazing.
Oh,
so I'm not going to feel one bit guilty about that one. So, but, yeah, cooking out in the blind is a lot of fun. I'm really, really enjoying doing that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Did you find out about your first two shots? Did he hit it?
No.
Wait, you didn't find out or you didn't hit it?
I As far as I know, I'd never hit it. There was nothing there. I didn't find anything. So what happened, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I flinch? Did I have no answer for that.
Hmm.
But, I mean, they were safe shots. They were, you know, broadside into a hill. But there was just, I don't know.
It's been a weird year as far as, like, deer recovery and just lack of blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially we had so much snow, so you can see blood mm-hmm. across the valley if you hit one and have to go and track it.
Yep.
This year, we've had very few deer that have bled after the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Like Billy's
and I did
buck.
I didn't look hard to see either, but I don't think I hit it. I mean, I literally didn't see any other blood, but I never really looked that hard either. So
yeah, I mean, Billy's buck, it didn't go very far. No. There was some blood, but it wasn't like crazy.
Yeah.
And all of our shots that we're taking are typically within 100 yards. So let's see, you and Billy both got, you guys were the first two to get deer, and her buck, I don't know the full story. I think she had seen it a couple times, and then it was heading down the ridge, and it just stopped and gave her a broadside shot, and she shot it. I think it was a pretty basic. It wasn't like she had seen it 100 times. She really hadn't been seeing much at all.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a couple that she couldn't get a shot on. I saw one on Saturday, a young buck that was heading towards her, and she never saw it. It must have stayed up the hill behind her to where she couldn't see. But yeah, then she got that buck, and she's like, all right, I'm done. I'm good to go. So the other thing that was fun this year was bringing the four-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
So I brought a four-wheeler up, and we've never had anything to – I think you guys may have dragged one out with the side-by-side at some point. But we've never had anything to drag deer out. And so it's literally been like last year, Aiden, it was me and you. We drug three deer out on Sunday.
It was on a sled.
Like. Yep. Yeah, just a big orange toboggan sled that we strapped down, strapped the deer down to. And then Josh, I mean, I don't even know how many deer we've drug out together over the years. But this year it was like, hey, I've got the four-wheeler. Maybe I'll just drive that over. And you did that for Billy's deer, drove it back there, loaded the deer up, and everyone was like, why have we not been doing this? Like, this is the easiest thing we've ever done. And so, yeah, by the end of the week, I think we loaded six different deer up on that four-wheeler and drove them through town, and I felt like the coolest guy ever because it was like every other day I was driving a big buck through town on the front of the four-wheeler, and people were I told everyone, I was like, I'm going to have to stop coming back to this spot. People are going to start following this four-wheeler and figuring out where we're shooting all these deer at.
I think, we took six out of that 40 and then mine, so seven on that four-wheeler.
Seven total.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah, Billy's happened, and then Sunday, I don't even know what time it was. I think it was fairly early on Sunday that I got mine, and I was sitting there, and I hadn't seen much at all. Actually, I don't think I had seen anything. So at this point in the hunt, we're done with opening day. I saw five total deer opening day. Next morning, it was, I think, around 7:20. I look over, and I see this body, and I see an ear flick. And it just looked like a real, like, short, puffy ear, you know, like a yearling would have. And I didn't get a great look at it, but I just assumed, oh, it's like a young doe, whatever. It was in between some trees and behind some brush. And I had my good camera with me on the tripod, and I brought it out there because I wanted to get a deer on camera. Like, I wanted to shoot one on camera. I'd never self-filmed a deer yet. And so I'm sitting there looking, and I'm like, man, I should turn the camera. And I was like, nah, not for a little doe, no big deal. I had plenty of time. Well, then I look back over there, and I see movement coming out on the bottom where that deer was heading. And so I'm like, all right, pull up my binos, and I just see 5 points on the right side. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, what am I doing? And I, like, grab my rifle, turn it over because I've got it on a tripod that I'm shooting off of. And so I, like, turn it that direction, and I look at my camera, and then I'm like, nope, don't have time. And just get on it, get it in the scope, and as soon as I get it in the scope, I see the right side again. I didn't look hard enough at it at all. I just saw that, and I was like, that's all I need to know. And picked a gap that it was about to walk through, got on it, pulled the trigger, just smoked it, and it took off running up the hill, and it was probably halfway up this tiny little knob in front of me, and it started to slow down. So I just got back on it and shot one more time, and it dropped. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it happened so fast. It was within probably the first hour and a half of the day. And so I went down to it, and as I'm going down, I'm thinking, like, this could be a pretty nice buck. I don't know for sure how big it was because all I could see was one side, and I couldn't tell the width or anything on it. And going from thinking that it's a young doe to a nice buck was just kind of weird. I was like, how did that happen in a matter of seconds? And so I'm getting over to it, and I see it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a tank. And he's wide. I mean, he's a 10-point. had some real funky characteristics on his left brow tine, and then a real dark chocolate rack, but he was like 19 and a quarter wide, and I don't know how old he was. Hopefully I find that out soon. He just looked like a real interesting deer. Anyways, so I go down, grab him. I'm getting calls from everybody in the woods saying, like, who shot, what did you shoot? And Josh, you and I had sat in that spot the night before,
yep.
And we had decided there was a tree 10 yards in front of us. Anything to the left of the tree, you got to shoot. Anything to the right of the tree, I got to shoot. And so you ended up, like, sleeping in or staying home for whatever reason that morning.
Yeah.
And yeah. Brady came out, and I was like, oh, dude, you should come back and sit with me. I've got an extra chair back here. He's like, oh, no, I'll sit up front at the double stand. And so then I shoot this buck, and I'm like, dude, if either one of you had been with, it would have been yours, because I would have just stayed set up on the right side, and you would have had shots at the left. But then, so anyways, I go down, get the deer, drag it to the bottom where we were going to pick it up with a four-wheeler, and I lean my rifle up against the tree right there, and I'm just sitting there looking at this deer. And I was like, all right, time to go. I'm going to go get my backpack, grab my knife, get it out. Do this whole thing. So I go up, I get up top, grab my backpack and pull it to the front of my chair, and I look over and there's a doe at 40 yards. And I'm like, where the heck did this thing come from? And so I'm immediately thinking, oh, perfect. Like, I'll shoot this. I've already got a buck. I got to get the four-wheeler anyways. And then I realize my rifle's leaning against the tree 40 yards down the hill. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so I watch her, and she's like, she knows something's up. She's looking around, but she's not like really spooked. She ended up turning and going up the hill away from me and got like 60 yards away behind a couple trees. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to book it down there. I'm going to try to get my rifle. If she spooks, oh well. If she doesn't, great. So I go down the hill, grab my rifle, come back up with my rifle. So I walk 40 yards down, grab it, walk 40 yards back up, look over, and she's still standing there. And I'm like, no way. So I put it in the tripod, get on her, flip the safety off, pull the trigger, and she dropped right there. And I was like, this is so dumb. Like, yeah. How does this happen? Like, I just walked around the woods with her standing there looking, or looking around. But the same thing happened last year. So I had a slow morning, or a slow day, opening day last year. Second day, I shot a buck and a doe. And so I just decided, like, I'm going to plan on only being up here 2 days next year. And just come out. Maybe not even go out Saturday.
It'll probably push it off then to another day.
It probably
so
would,
that
yeah.
First day, you're not still going to get anything.
No, I can't count on that. But, so, yeah, that all went down. Aiden, what time did you get in town?
I got in town around 11.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. So you got in town and then came out basically immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I thought you had gotten in Saturday night and just didn't come out Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's awesome. So you got into town, you guys got your license, and then you met us over here. We went out to the woods, and I think we went and we were sitting by what, 1?
I think 1:15. You called me to see if I made it to my spot.
Oh, yeah.
Or 1 to 1:15, somewhere in there, yeah.
So, like, 1:15, I get a hold of you. I think we ended up sitting, getting set up around 1. Mm-hmm. By 1:20, you look at me, and you're like, Dan, there's a deer. And I'm thinking, like, no way. We just got in here. It's the middle of the day.
When I saw it, I thought it was a doe. I couldn't tell what it was from where we were.
Yeah. And so, same exact spot as I was. I was in the chair on the right. You were in the chair on the left. You were going to get to shoot anything because I already shot a buck and a doe. And this was your first year hunting, first deer that you're trying to kill. And so I was like, dude, whatever comes in, it doesn't matter. Left, right, behind, in front, like you're going to shoot this thing. And so you saw it first coming down the hill.
Yeah.
So what happened from there?
Well, I saw it coming down the hill. I let you know that there's a deer. And if I'm correct, you said it came down the same path that your buck did?
Yeah, exact same path.
So, did you use your binoculars or the camera?
So, I flipped the camera over to it right away, and I pulled up my binos, and I saw that it was a big buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no chance. Like, this kid's been hunting for, like, 13 seconds, and all of a sudden this big buck walks in.
Yeah, and I'm freaking out because, I mean, it's my first deer, and it's a big buck, so I'm shaking uncontrollably. It's hard to, like, grab the gun without shaking, and I'm scoped in on it, following it, and it goes behind, like, a brush pile and a few trees, so I couldn't see it, so I looked up from my scope to, like, try to see where it went, and then I saw it, and you grunt, and you distracted it for me, but I couldn't find it in my scope again, and you're like, come on, shoot it, just, and you're, like, freaking out. I was freaking out, so it starts walking again, going down the hill a little bit, and I finally got it on the scope, and you grunt, and I'm trying to, like, get a good shot on it, but I'm shaking, so it's hard, and I feel like I got a good shot, so I shot. It ran down the hill a little bit, ran up a little bit, and then it went over another hill, but you could see it. I couldn't really see where it went. So then you grabbed your gun and scoped in on it, and then you shot it and dropped it. But then, if I'm correct, Sam saw it, and it was trying to get up again, so then Sam shot it. So when me and you got over there, it was still struggling and trying to get up, so then we put the final shot in it.
Yeah, so. It was a wild turn of events, because, like you said, you had seen it first. Mm-hmm. You were trying to get on it, and this whole time, I'm trying to operate the camera, but I'm trying to watch for a gap where you're going to have a shot, like a clean shot, so you're not shooting through brush or branches or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so in the video that I took, you hear me probably 300 times say, are you on it? Are you, Aiden, are you on it? Are you on it? Hey, are you on it, Aiden? And you're not responding. You didn't say a single word in response to me the entire time. And
you
so
didn't
I'm like,
exist at the time, honestly.
No, yeah, I wasn't even there. Like, he could have been on a different planet. So I pick a gap that it's walking into, and I'm like, meh, and it stops. And I'm like, Aiden, are you on it? Are you on it? Dude, shoot it if you're on it. Are you on it? And still no response. The deer starts walking again, and I think it was on my third time that I stopped it. You were like, yeah, I'm on it. I'm like, then shoot it. And so he shoots it. I see it, like, you know how the front legs just drop? I mean, like, its front legs went out, and I thought it was just going to, like, go chest into the snow and snow plow until it tipped over. Well, it caught itself, and when it caught itself, it took off up and over the hill. And so I'm like yelling at this thing, like, meh, meh, trying to get it to stop. I'm like, Aiden, reload, get back on it. And at this point I see, like, this is about to go onto the neighbor's property, and then we're going to have a track job. We're going to have to go get permission, do all this stuff. And I could tell that from where he was, he couldn't see this deer. And so I picked up my rifle and I was like, hey dude, I'm just going to have to put it down. So when I shot, it went down. And then, yeah, like you said, it was over near Sam at that point. He was way up on the hill above it. They shot to finish it because it was still struggling, trying to get up. And then we walked up and you put the finishing shot on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably 5 feet away from it. But it was crazy. And it ended up being a really nice 9-point. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was a mainframe 8-point with a kicker on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever noticed it. Did you see the hole?
No.
In the antler. So the same antler that's got that kicker on it, that mm-hmm. little 1-inch point, has a hole perfectly straight down through the antler.
Oh, really?
It just goes all the way down into it, yeah.
I never noticed that.
I didn't notice it until I dropped it off at the taxidermist. Hmm. And I was like, holy cow. I don't know how we missed it, but yeah, so that happened. And then was it that same night that you went out, Josh?
No, so that night I stayed in my spot because I was sitting up just west of Sam on the other side of the hill watching the other gully. And then we ended up leaving, and then Aiden came back out with me that afternoon. We went and hunted the south property out in the field. We didn't see anything out there that night. And then the next night is when I went to the back 40 and sat in a spot I've never sat before. Didn't even really know it was there. And it was one of the most beautiful spots I've ever sat in. Could see everything. Sat for 40 minutes or so. And this deer comes out at like 300 yards probably, roughly, out of the corn, walking down this hill. and it was the north-facing hill, so it had snow on it still. Everything else was green, and so I could see it in the snow, and then it walks out right into the bottom of the valley, and I couldn't see it anymore. So I pull up the scope, and I'm watching it, and it's standing broadside from me. So I watch it for like 10, 15 minutes, and I'm just keep checking behind it, waiting for a buck to be following it, because I've heard from everybody that the bucks are still chasing hard, so hoping something would step out on it. And I watched it. Finally, I'm like, okay, it's a big doe. I drove all the way up from Colorado. I'm bringing some meat back with me. I was like, I don't care. I'll shoot this doe. So I was looking for the buck, and then I turn and I can't find it anymore because it was a good distance away from me, and it was right in the green grass instead of the snow. And finally, I get on it, and this whole time it was broadside from me. And this once I decided to shoot it, all I could see is its back end quartered completely away from me. So I'm sitting there and watched it like that for probably 5 minutes, waiting for it to give me a shot at it. And then it turns just slightly, and it gives me its front shoulder just behind it. And I was like, okay, well, now's my chance. If I want to take it, I'm going to take it now. So I shoot. The gun kicks. I'm like, okay, I made a good shot. It must have went down. I put the scope right where it was, and I don't see anything. And I'm just like, I just missed this deer. How did I just miss this deer? It was maybe like 250 yards from me, if that. You came out and saw where it was.
Yeah, probably 250.
So I'm sitting there with the scope staring, looking all over, and I'm like, what? This deer's gone. I just missed this deer. Dang it, I missed a deer, you know. I'm super upset, and finally I scroll over, and about 10 yards from where I shot it, I just see it standing broadside. Looks like nothing happened at all, and I'm like, how did I miss this deer? So I get right on it again. I'm about to pull the trigger again, and it goes to take a step. It just drops to the ground and then stands back up. And I'm like, okay, I hit it. And, you know, it's trying to get away still. So I put it right on it again, shoot one more time, and just folded it right there. And then, yeah, I think that was – we talked to a guy that has a trail camera out there, and he's like, yeah, I saw that. He's like, at 3:36, I see a doe standing there. At 3:37, I see a dead laying there. and then Dan came out with the four-wheeler. I sat for another hour or so waiting for a buck to come through, and then I met you up with the four-wheeler, went back there, and got it out. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that spot's pretty killer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, looking at it in person and then again on the maps, it's a spot that I've never hunted. I had been to it once, and I think we tried to – this is a funny story. So maybe you were with.
No, because I've never been to that spot.
You've never been back
I
there?
I didn't even know it was there. When he told me where to go, I asked him like three different times. And it's funny because he just gets down in the snow with his finger and draws it completely out. He's like, you go through this fence, and then you go through this fence, and you had 425 yards exactly. And then you start hiking in from there and just find a spot. And so I got up onto the top of the highest knob out there, and I could just see everything.
Yeah.
And he told me to go down in that valley, but I'm like, well, I'm shooting a rifle. I can shoot anything I can see. So I was like, I'm going to step back, you know. So I was probably 100 yards back behind where the blind was, and that way I could cover everything. So,
see, I'd never deer hunted back there, but I have been back there before, and it was on a coyote hunt. Mm. And
I might have been back there on a coyote.
We'd never made it all the way up to the top, so I hadn't seen the actual valley. It was just like,
was that where when we found your truck? Is that where we found the den on the side of the hill?
Because yeah,
we did see
a den.
Okay, then I was with there, but yeah, we didn't go all the way down to the south side.
But do you remember what happened? We were heading out this way to coyote hunt, and I see a dead raccoon on the side of the road. And I'm like, oh, maybe we just put that dead raccoon out there and the coyotes will smell it and come eat it. I had never coyote hunted before in my life, but I just thought, oh, yeah, they eat dead things. So we throw this disgusting raccoon in, like, a grocery sack and put it in the trunk of the car, drive all the way out here, and then I get the bright idea. Like, well, what if we have some movement with it? So we tied a rope to it so that I can make a little motion decoy. I mean, I don't even know how young. We had to have
been
pretty young. And, yeah, it didn't work at all. The car just smelled like rotting animals. Because
it was.
Yeah. I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could probably find that string and a skeleton from a raccoon out there still. But yeah, so
either that or the coyote came.
Yeah, later. The coyote probably did come and pull it off eventually. But yeah, that's a sweet spot. I mean, hopefully we can hunt that in years to come. After that though, what else? Let's see. you'd gone back out a couple times. Sam and his buddy Gage had gone out, and Sam had found a new spot. Well, early in the week, like Sunday, I think, he had an encounter with a big buck, like a really nice buck. And it came up over the hill right behind him, like 20 yards, and he couldn't get a shot before it had spooked off. And so this whole time, he's communicating with a neighbor who has a bunch of trail camera pictures of all the big bucks. And Sam described the deer to the guy, and he's like, dude, you're lucky to even see that thing. It went nocturnal. It's not moving around in daylight at all. And yeah, then all of a sudden,
they said they haven't had it in daylight for like a year.
Well, he said he had a couple pictures, and then for the last 3 weeks, it's been completely nocturnal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At least on his property.
Yeah.
And so Sam had the encounter with it. He was like, dude, count your blessings, you know. And then all of a sudden, Wednesday, the day before, is that right? Was it Wednesday or Tuesday?
No,
It would have been Tuesday.
It would have been Tuesday because they...
It was Wednesday.
No, because they left Wednesday.
They did leave Wednesday,
Wednesday
shot it
morning.
On Wednesday.
Yep, so Tuesday he had the encounter.
He shot it the day he left.
And then Wednesday morning he shot it at like 7:20 or something like that.
Yeah, so he said it came in and had been chasing. He saw it five different times chasing a doe. And it was all over the hills in the woods. Like he couldn't quite get a good shot. And then all of a sudden it popped up right in front of him after it disappeared with the doe behind a tree. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all of a sudden it was like right underneath me. There was like a little false ledge that he couldn't quite see underneath. And then all of a sudden it popped up and he shot it. And he said after he shot, another buck walked over, and he said a really wide 8-point, walked over, stood right above it, sniffed it for a little while, and then was like, yeah, I might head out of here. And then it slowly backed out. But so, I mean, out of those woods, we got 4 bucks this year. 4 bucks, 3 does. And then how about over on your guys' property? How many did you guys end up with?
As far as I know, let's see, Casey, Jess, Zach. So there would be 5 out of there.
Mm-hmm. Dang. How many bucks?
2, me and Jess.
2 bucks, 3 does. The girls got the bucks. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's been quite a year, because I think out of all the bucks that we've killed on this 40, there's probably only one bigger than any one of these three.
Yeah, I think Mark's 9 probably.
Mark's 9
is the biggest one.
So we got 3 out of the 4 biggest bucks off this property all in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And we've been hunting it. I mean, when did you guys start hunting it? 25 years ago?
At least, because we've been
probably closer to 30 years.
We've been in this area for, let's see, since 1984. So, yeah.
Jeez. That's,
yeah.
Almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years we've been in this area, and I would say it was within a few years that we started hunting there. So,
dang, that's crazy. And, I mean, when we talked to Jeff, he did say, I've seen more deer this summer than I've ever seen. He's like, in all the years I've been here.
Well, and the guy I talked to at the gas station, over in Oliva, they said they were looking at the stats, and there were more deer shot opening weekend or opening day in Trempealeau County than any other county in Wisconsin. And I think they said it was right around 2,400 deer taken opening day in Trempealeau County.
In Trempealeau. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I mean, the counties here, a lot of people look at Kansas and Iowa, and they're like, oh, big buck states. And they are. Don't get me wrong. They produce really good deer. But as far as Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young entries, Wisconsin, I don't know after last year's statistics, but before that, they had more Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young entries than the next 2 states combined. Mm. And Buffalo County leads Wisconsin in Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young entries. We're right next to that in Trempealeau County.
Yep.
And everybody, I mean, I keep hearing every year people are like, Trempealeau's turning into the new Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And just looking at the different bucks that have been killed in this area.
Yep. Well, and I'm looking at, you know, the bucks that are still out there on the property where we're at, you know, for next year.
Oh,
my
yeah.
goodness. I can't even imagine what it's going to look like next year, because there are so many smaller bucks, but still decent, that, you know, they're still all out there. So, And we've seen, I've seen way, way more bucks on my cameras this year than does. I mean,
dang,
there's a lot more bucks out there than there were does, at least on my cameras.
See, I think I saw more bucks than I did does this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's four deer that I can't confirm what they were. I just saw them at a distance. But of the deer that I know that I saw, mm-hmm, I think I saw more bucks than does.
Yep.
Well, and even that, there's so many. And I was talking to some other guys, too, and it's the same thing. A lot of young bucks.
Yep.
A lot of, like, 1-2-year-old bucks that are going to be big next year, and that's all they're seeing right now. So yeah, the next few years are going to be, and I mean, we took out what, 3-4 bucks off, yep, that property, and three of those were shooters that the neighbor had, and he still got other ones out there that are real big shooters, and then a bunch of, you know, 3-year-old deer, yeah, 2-3-year-old deer on there as well.
I always have a hard time because I don't like playing the what would it have been next year game, because, yeah, like when I shoot a deer, I shoot it because I'm happy with it, you know?
Yep.
But then you walk up to it and you just think, like, what if?
Yeah.
Like, what if this thing grew another 30 inches? Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's deer that put on a crazy amount depending on the acorn crops, mm-hmm, or, you know, what kind of crops are being planted around them. And it was the same thing with Sam's, because Sam shot a 10. One of the 10 points was busted off. But then he had 3 different points that would have been full point, or like they would have been scoreable points next year. And so it's like, okay, so technically you've got a 9 right now. Next year he'd probably at least be a 13. And he's like, yeah, but this is my biggest buck. And I'm like, oh, trust me, I'd shoot this thing every yeah, single year, no matter yeah, what it's about to turn into.
Yeah, and if you start playing that game, the chance of you actually seeing that one next year, or
oh, yeah,
somebody else not taking it before then, or getting hit by a vehicle,
yep,
especially along that stretch.
Oh, your odds of seeing it year to year go down and yeah, down and down and yeah, down and down.
I mean, look at how many you saw this year that are big bucks that yeah, you probably never even saw those deer last year.
No.
Yep.
No, I totally agree. And that's where I'm like, if I get excited about it when it comes in, I'm going to shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about doing age structure and, like, doing antler requirements or something like that. And I think it would be a really cool deal to get involved with, especially with the neighbors, because I know some of the neighbors buying up the land here are talking about doing, like,
and
hey, we're shooting 3.5 or 4.5-year-old
yeah,
deer. Well, in trophy counties like Buffalo County, I mean, most people are following those same criteria. And some of them are going to get shot young by whoever, and that's fine. But, I mean, just think, you know, 30 bucks on
yeah,
camera at your place, you know, like 30.
Yeah.
Even if 10% of those make it to 5.5 years old, right, that's $3 that are 5.5 on the property.
Yep.
That's insane. I mean, yeah, I get excited when I see $7 on camera yeah, in Missouri, much less, you know.
Well, in the last two years, last year I saw way more bucks than I did does. Same
yeah,
this year, and I'm like, it's yeah, crazy to think of that because it's not been like that. It's usually you see 1 or 2 bucks, you know, maybe shooters, maybe not.
Yep.
But to see way more bucks than does is just crazy to me.
Well, and that's also awesome as far as calling and rut activity, and like when there's less does than there are bucks, the bucks have to compete more in order to breed. They're going to be more receptive to scent, more receptive to calling, more receptive to rattling, more receptive to decoys, because say you do have a 3-to-1 buck to doe ratio, not all of them get to like reproduce with that doe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you want it ideally at 50-50. But we see a lot of places, and especially on that property in years past, and honestly, probably this year, if you were to count up all the deer that everyone on the property saw this year, it was a lot more does than bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen does, and I saw, I mean, the same 4 that you saw, and we couldn't tell what they
yep,
were. One of them we knew was a young doe. I had 3 young does come within 40 yards of me one night, but that's all I've seen. So I've seen 5 or 6 does out there and
yep,
no bucks. So it's just, the time of day and who's sitting out there, because they're still out there.
Well, and yeah, there was a really nice buck. Well, there was a buck bedded down. It was actually on the hill for about a half hour in front of me, watching over the valley. It didn't move. It just looked, and that's all it did. Then it did a circle and laid right down on that spot. And so I watched him for a little bit. About 10 minutes later, he jumps up and heads down the hill real quick, and I thought, okay, what's going on? I look up there. Much bigger buck is standing right where he was just laying. And so I had my binoculars on him. I had already got my buck, so I was just watching him. But it was fun watching him, and I thought, well, now's the time to kind of play with the call, the rattle, whatever, and just see what you can do with it, because it doesn't matter. I don't need to shoot this deer, so let's just see what I can do. He could have cared less.
Really?
I grunted, and he looked, went right back to doing what he was doing. That was about it. He did not care one bit. And then, excuse me, in the afternoon when I was watching two bucks. Actually, I was watching one. It was a five-pointer, and he had come off the ridge and came right down. He was probably, I don't know if he was 30 yards from me, and I watched him. But he kept looking off in the distance, and he was just, he's walking, but he's looking in the same spot. And then he stopped on the side of the ridge, and he just stared in that spot. And I thought, something's over there. So he's eyeing up something over there. So I just kept watching and looking back. And all of a sudden, another buck comes along, a little three-pointer, and they kind of converge about 10, 15 feet from each other. And they're both looking in that direction. I'm like, okay, something's going on.
Yeah.
And they're kind of meeting up. And so I'm like waiting for a little bit of a fight here or something. You know, something's going to happen here. And all of a sudden, a small doe stepped out. And I'm like, I knew there was something coming. And so I watched her. And then right behind her came her mama. And the mama was much bigger. And she stepped out after. And both those bucks headed straight for her. And it was just fun watching them, because they're both converging, and she's over there with the little one while she starts jumping around and running around, and they're chasing after her and going after each other. And it was just fun watching them, you know. But I just waited till she and the little one got up on the side of the ridge before I shot her. But yeah, it was fun watching to see, you know, what was going to happen here, you know, how they interact with each other. They didn't have a clue that I was there, and they would probably cared less.
Yeah.
Because after I shot her, even the two bucks were still in that valley, the same exact valley, for until I got out of my stand and went down to her. So, and I waited until I was, oh gosh, I can't even think of how long I sat there and just waited, because I'm like, no sense to get out of here. I got to wait for somebody to come and get me anyway. So yeah. I just sat there and watched them. And they didn't have a clue what was going on. But.
Well, and I feel like that's kind of how it's been in years past. I've never had success calling in deer during rifle season, like with antlers or with a grunt or with snort wheeze, anything. But scent, that seems to work still.
Mm-hmm.
Like we used to do that. We'd spray it all over the bottom of our boots, walk all the way in, drag, you know, a scented wick behind us, hang it in the tree, do things like that. And we've had plenty of success with that. But as far as actual calling, it just seems like they're probably like, dude, we're done fighting. We don't want to keep doing this. But, oh, wow, that one is hot. I smell that. Like, I'm going after her.
Yeah.
Last year, you used your buck call, and we saw, like, three just, I don't know, bucks or does just run away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, I just did some blind calling, and I did a grunt, or maybe I rattled, and I was like, yeah, Aiden, I'm like trying to teach him, because he had never hunted before, like he was just sitting there with me, and I was like, yeah, this is what you can do sometimes, and I'm like, clank, 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 and then all of a sudden you just see tails, boom, gone.
So, so like, he trained you, he taught you what not to do.
Do not do this during rifle season.
Yeah, because it seems like during rifle season, they're like you said, their senses are all alert, but yet they don't care about only one thing.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what you do or what, you know, they just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they have one thing on their mind, and that's what they're headed for. And if the two things coincide or converge, then great. But if not, they're not even going to care about you.
Yep.
But yeah, the scent, I know I used a little bit of the buck bomb this year, just sprayed it out the blind window. And now that I think back about it, I'm thinking most of the bucks that I saw, the majority of them anyways, came from that direction.
Mm.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened with Sam too. He said that they sprayed some estrus scent right before we shot the buck, or right before you shot your buck, and the wind was blowing that direction. And when he came through, he wasn't running, but he was moving. Like, he had a place that he wanted to be, and so I'm wondering if it wasn't that scent that carried up the hill and was bringing him to them. Sorry we intercepted him, but...
Yeah.
Sam's probably pretty excited about that, because he would have shot him, and then he wouldn't have got his big one this year, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a good year. Mm-hmm. Congrats, everybody. Aiden, 20-minute hunter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We're just going to call you fast food from now on.
Fast food. I like it.
Expect not to see a deer for 3 years now.
Yeah. 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 Just believe me, it does not happen like that all the time.
Oh, I know.
Everybody started going through how long it actually took them to get their first deer and like how many encounters and misses. Or
I can't tell you how many years it took me to get my first buck. I mean, my first year I did get a doe, but to get a buck was, I mean, that was tough.
See, I got lucky my first few years. My first day out archery hunting ever, I shot my first buck and doe in that day with a bow. And then rifle, youth hunt, 12 years old. It was that first week, I don't know the day it was, that I was out there, shot my first buck and doe.
Okay, well.
And now I haven't shot a buck in a long time, so. Like I said, expect not to.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and one thing we haven't even mentioned, all of the bucks shot in the woods in that 40 were all shot within 120 yards of each other.
Oh.
I mean, everyone was either on the same path or walking toward that same path.
Yep. Well, yeah. And so when you think about that, all the commotion that's in the woods after you shoot deer between getting over to it, maybe having to shoot it again, having to gut it out, having to load it up and drag it out and bring the four-wheeler in and all that
laughing,
stuff.
Oh, laughing, high-fiving.
The high-fiving, the laughing, the storytelling, the whole thing while you're in the woods. And here you took out how many of them in such a short period of time.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't affect anything.
No. Yeah. No, I mean, I was calling people. When I went down to my buck, you know, I was calling people. People were calling me. Everyone in the woods is calling to find out who shot what. I was calling people like, dude, I just shot a good one, just shot a good one, not talking quietly, not whispering. And then I walk up the hill, and there's a doe within 40 yards. I mean, she had to have been there as I was walking up the hill, unless she just sprinted in and then stopped on a dime. But I think she probably was standing there watching me like,
and that might have been why the buck was doing? There.
And it was even the day even the day before that when you and I, we haven't sat together hunting in years.
Yeah,
so
time.
We both sit down. And we're just joking about whatever it is, stupid stuff. And we're laughing. We're being loud. Like, there's points where I'm covering my mouth because I'm laughing so loud. And then I turn over and I see a doe standing there and walking through it. I'm like, crap, there's a deer. How did we just see a deer? We were just being so loud.
Honestly, I feel like you could just walk around. You could do your daily workout routine out there.
Yeah.
And the deer are still going to show up.
Well, and I know Billy said, you know, this year too, she says, I'm not quiet in the woods. She says, I have my plastic baggies I'm ripping open. I'm ripping open a bag of chips or whatever. She said, I'm not quiet in there. And she gets her deer pretty much every opening morning.
Yep.
Is usually when she gets her deer. And so, you know, and I've had people comment about me being out there and making food. It hasn't affected anything.
Nope.
I get my buck every time while I'm making food, you know?
Yep.
I'm frying venison.
I'll pee out there. I'll talk. Yeah. I don't do any scent control. That's the other thing. I used to be like, oh, we need scent control. We need scent control.
We used to clip those
stupid dry earth wafers on our hats, and they smelled like death. And they just smelled like a moldy log. I don't know.
Yep.
And so we'd have all of our stuff in totes and covered in scent, and we're like spraying down with scent killer the whole time.
We're using the scent.
You don't take it in the house.
Scent deodorant.
I'm like,
shampoo,
all that. We used to do all of that. And lately I'm like, it literally doesn't matter. Like I've spilt gasoline. I've actually spilt gasoline while I've been like pulling the nozzle out on the way to a hunt and got it on my boots and gone out and killed deer.
Yeah.
When
they don't care.
When I got my buck, I showered right before I got there. And
I know. I thought you smelled like
they
Axe.
Liked your shampoo.
He's like getting out, just spraying down with Axe deodorant. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it really proves it is. This is the first year we've bringing a four wheeler out there, and we drug all those deer from the same spot, and it never interrupted or disrupted anything.
Well, I went and loaded both of my deer up. You know, Brady and I picked them up, put them on, strapped them on the four-wheeler, drove it up the hill. I mean, making all kinds of noise. And within, 3 hours, you came out, Aiden, and shot yours in the exact same spot?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
People give deer too much credit, I feel like. And don't get me wrong, I think it's different depending on the season, depending on the location. But in Wisconsin, when you have 600,000 hunters out there opening weekend, the deer have no choice. They're going to be where hunters are. I mean, they're going to get scared from one property and come over to another property, or vice versa. Or they're just going to do the same routines in, the property that we hunt. There's so many big hills and so much woods and so much cover that unless you're actually out there, doing jumping jacks, odds are they're going to walk right through and have no idea that you're there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's interesting, and I say this every year for the last, I don't know how many years, but, they're doing their thing. If they don't know you're there or you're not bothering them and they don't care that you're there, they do their same thing. You know, this year I looked up, I was sitting there, and I looked over to my right, and I'm like, something looks a little different there between those two trees. And here it was a deer. It was bedded down. All I could see was the body. I couldn't see the head. It was just this, looked like this brown log, but it was a different brown than what else was in the woods right there.
Yeah.
And so then I looked at it for a while, and then all of a sudden I see the head move a little bit, and I could see the ears twitching and stuff. And I'm like, you know, it didn't have a clue I was there. I knew it was there, but probably not for, I don't know how long it was there before I knew it was there.
Yep.
Yeah, it just was in its natural habitat, laying in the sun, just sitting there watching whatever's happening, down in the valley, and didn't have a clue. And that's part of what I love about being out there, is that you can be in the middle of nature and not, they don't have a clue that you're there.
Yep.
Or they might sense a little something's wrong, but it's not enough that they're going to be worried about it. And they just go about their business as far as eating and bedding down and running around and playing and, you know, doing whatever they're doing. And, you know, it's just fun to watch them. It's a lot of fun to just sit and watch deer in their habitat.
When me and Dan got out, Dan told me, watch that hill, because he's like, that's where I shot my buck, and that's where the doe came down from. So right when we sat down, I started hearing branches snap over there, and I knew something was over there, but I also wanted to look everywhere else, but I mainly focused on that, one area, because I knew something was over there, and when I saw that deer come down, that's when I started freaking out, because I knew it was there. It's just a matter of if I would have looked away for a while, if I would have saw it or not.
Yeah.
Because
and I mean, even with the snow on the ground, they can disappear behind the tiniest tree.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And if they don't move, and they could stand there for a half an hour like that one on the hill, if they don't move, and they could just be standing there. You have no clue that they're right there.
Yeah. I had a doe. I grabbed my camera because I saw this doe come in, and actually it was the one that I shot. I looked over and I saw it, and I was like, I'm gonna get this on video. And then I realized I don't have my gun, and I had to go back down the hill to get my gun. Well, I turned my camera to it, and it was behind a tree that was maybe 10 inches wide. And it was standing right behind it, and I completely lost it. And I'm, trying to find it in the camera screen, and I'm like, where the heck did it go? And then I just see an ear flick off the side of it. And I'm like, a deer could legitimately lay down right there and be there for an hour and a half, and I would have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big tree. It's not like a bunch of cover. It was on an open hillside with five mature trees in between me and it. But yeah, it just goes to show they could be in there. I just don't think people need to spend thousands of dollars on scent control. Yeah. There's people who buy washing machines and dryers that they only wash their hunting clothes in. And I'm like,
okay,
good luck. But I can't say a whole lot because some of those guys do kill monster. I'm talking 180 inch deer every year.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy with shooting the deer that we shoot
and
not spending that kind of money and not being that ridiculous about it. So I'm not brushing my teeth with doe urine, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But congrats.
Sam will be happy with that.
I know, right? Well, congrats, everybody. Good season. And, next year we got to top it now.
Yeah. Oh boy, that'll be a challenge.
Maybe I'll top it this afternoon.
There you go.
I'd like to pull one more out with the four wheeler.
That would be awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is going to wrap it up for today's show. I'm still in disbelief about how amazing of a season it was. And I don't think anybody actually got out after we recorded this episode. With all the family stuff, with Thanksgiving and travel, I mean, people had to head back home. They had to get ready for the next week or get things finished before work started the next week. And so it kind of died down, which is crazy. Normally, Thanksgiving is a big day for us. We all go hit the woods again. But the fact that a lot of us tagged out before Thanksgiving is pretty incredible. And it really was the best season ever. We've got a couple deer at the taxidermist now. I'm super excited to get those back. Aiden's getting a full shoulder mount. I'm getting a full shoulder mount. And I don't do that with a lot. I tend to get a lot of European mounts. But this buck, for being my biggest buck in Wisconsin and just the characteristic it had, it was so cool. And so I'm really excited to get those back. And again, congrats to everybody who had success. Hopefully you guys are out there chasing after deer. And I'm excited to get back to Missouri and chase them again with my bow. See if we can top it off with three big deer this year. That would be insane. Anyways, until next time, always choose adventure and God bless.